My name is Chris Jordan, and welcome. A story that yields itself and never ends. A series not necessarily about journal entries, rather someone on the other side, notes and thoughts, emotions and experiences that shape narratives about life in Connacht. Welcome to the 15-year journal. Welcome to yet another episode, episode 5 of the 15-year journal. My name's Chris. Today's episode is called A Letter to My Sister. I will reiterate this again. I think people that have followed my podcasts and suppose anything I put on social media or whatever it may be, or what I voice in life, would very well know this about me, which is I can't imagine a life without my three sisters. Three phenomenal human beings who have been literal lifelines in where I am, who I am, and why I want to continue just being in this very short time that we all have in this existential life. My family is truly sealed in concrete by unconditional love, and for that I'm very grateful, and for that I'm very lucky. I have my parents to thank for that, and so I do. They are hard human beings, but the kind of hard that shouldn't be confused for cold. They are strong, they are solid, and they are pillars, and I'm truly blessed beyond comprehension to be gifted with this family in this life. So much so that trying to verbalize it is, I think, rather patronizing to how underrated I could ever possibly try to describe them, this and us. Unconditional love is truly one of those truly mystified wonders of the world, right? Where an emotionally logistic being cannot fathom any other notion but soulful dedication to another being, where we part and parceled to literally do the opposite. Well, we're here to self-preserve. It's instinct butting heads with, again, instinct. But it still just makes sense. Man, I cry every time I think about life without these unconditional loved souls in my life. That could be coming from a dream, or maybe again, once again, you're in a dark place where your mind just drifts because reality is reality and these things are going to happen at some point or another. Nobody wants this. It's a nightmare, but everyone has to suffer. But as cliche as it sounds, and as true as it is, love does never die. True love, you know, unconditional love. And everyone is deserving of it. You don't need me to say that, like a coffee cup that you, you know, lift up in the morning and drink your decaf on or whatever it is. But it needs to constantly be pounded in our heads that in our moments of weaknesses, trial, tribulation, whatever it may be that happen, I say infinitely throughout a day, we need to remind ourselves that we are deserving of unconditional love that never dies. It gives you more than worth. It gives you more than purpose. It gives you something intangible and much larger, universally life-sized, that as a soul we need and long for to live and to live on. Today's journal entry, which was somewhere in 2010, it wasn't noted, but unfortunately I remember it like it was, well, just earlier this morning. I really didn't want to revisit this at all. Again, man, to regurgitate my reasons for, it's like dragging up the past. Super dark space. Hurts so much to know that you could be that sentimentally broken. But it serves its purpose in my message to you. It's quiet. It's one of those things where you are subjecting yourself to vulnerability because, you know, well, in my personal opinion, I don't like asking for help, because if you ask for help, you have to be entirely responsible and accountable for it, which is not an abdication from it, but rather the fact that I know, you know, we change so much in one day, that when is it the right time to actually cause an effect for crying out for help? That's what I'm really worried about, which is why I so seldom ever do it. When you're in trouble is when that big red alarm goes on. It's that red alarm you really have never faced in that blinding level, suppose, or that intensity. When you're so lost, it's time to cry out. And I really hope that someone answers. I had a plethora of problems, obstacles, barriers that really makes or those true breaks in my life. And of course, any problem must and can always be faced head on by yourself. But without true cheerleaders, I wouldn't be able to claim achievement to most, if not all, of one of the step forwards and the two steps back that help me want to wake up in the morning, get dressed, get going, eat, work, think, act, pray, live love. The last step will always be your own. And I think maybe even the first step will always be your own. It's very important to achieve soul accountability for your achievements, success, and your growth. But look, I mean, even when you are at your lowest, the darkest of corners, sucked free of light, you're still there. There is a very inaudible but still active, alive part of you that is fighting for you, that has decided for you to be, again, team you. Whether you feel it or you really don't, you see it, or you really don't, or you believe it, or you definitely don't. If you're still there, this will always be true. So all is and will not be lost. If it wasn't so, it's quite easy to end that all now. And trust me, I know, I've been there on that doorstep, knocking on that final door many, many, many times before. Most people would be ashamed to admit to their weaknesses and their, I suppose, their lowest point of reference in their life. But I find strength in being able to understand myself unconditionally and, again, existentially, to note where my high highs are true high highs and my low lows are, well, an amalgamation of the fact that I could achieve any height from then onwards. I'm not saying this to be relatable. I'm saying this because it is, once again, most people's shame and devastation. I'm going to quote some key parts I noted to my sister in this journal entry. I wrote a letter. Even though I could just get up, walk across the hallway and just have a chat with her, which I have since I was a child. You know, putting it in the written word made it feel so final and truly desperate. And some of her responses I will also include, with her permission, I might add. Perhaps some will resonate with you in the way my sister helped me, perhaps could help you. I found this journal last night, quote unquote, and reading it again, I don't know what's happening in this life that has been given to me. I'm just so tired, my sister. Man, I'm tired of being happy or depressed or driven or reckless or spiritual, spontaneous. Man, even tired right now of being hungry or full. 3 decades of trying to be the best of what has been given to me, do the best with what has been given to me, and learning to be the absolute worst. I've always felt so deathly alone. Now, I do love you, but I do things that worry, upset, or hurt you, and it's not intentional, but because it is slowly purposeful degrading state of being that which impacts those I truly love around me. For that, I'm truly sorry. Masato responded, "My dear brother, life is hard. There is no doubt, and I guess everyone wants to give up at times. But I've realized that there's a difference between feeling and feeling the truth. Our feelings change from one moment to another, and of that we lived our lives accordingly. We do sometimes go crazy, but what we know, which are the facts, are always true, that we are surrounded by love, but we don't feel that love sometimes. It's a deception from a dark light that wants to surpass you. Love is not a feeling, it's a truth. And peace in this life is contentment. Being just satisfied and learning that, that's enough. Your behavior can always be corrected, but who you are always will be who you are, and that's a good thing. Get rid of the junk in your life and get back to being you. Leave the anger to one side. Control the anger. Eradicate the bitterness. Other people cannot complete our lives, but their love is a blessing. And you'll only truly be complete if you are not alone with God by your side. Reflect, gain perspective, and work through the pain in process. And remember that I do love you." End journal entry 2010.